nanohub.org.
You can follow along with this presentation using printed slides from the NanoHub. Visit www.nanohub.org and download the PDF file containing the slides for this presentation. Print them out and turn each page when you hear the following sound. Enjoy the show.
I think it's going to be a good discussion after my talk because this is a different structure for scanning probe microscopy that we have been working on for the last year. And I'll try to kind of explain the operation of the device, plus give the latest update on what we are doing. And our efforts has been mostly on the development of different versions of the device for different kind of applications. So the FRAT name stands for Force Sensing Integrated Readout and Active Tip. And it has an integrated interferometric readout, and it actually moves the tip directly. That's why we call this the active tip. And then I'll give you the concept, then how we fabricate these devices and integrate to some commercial AFM systems that we had in the lab, and show some results on fast imaging with this fast tapping mode imaging, and also some quantitative surface characterization with this device because of this special structure, it's really suitable for making nanomechanical measurements and pretty fast. And so after we do these things, the first device that we put together was actually meant for a microphone, micro-machine microphone. So it didn't have the good dynamics, so we improved the dynamics of the device and also the sensitivity of the device. I'll talk about that. And then lately we have been using it for some biomolecular measurements, and I'll kind of give you a short update on that. And there are lots of future work, as you can imagine. Okay, so I think everyone in this room knows about some limitations of the AFM, which is one is the speed. So you want to have a fast actuator if you want to actually use feedback loop when you're imaging fast. And so there are methods for integrated actuators, but so we'll be introducing another one, which is electrostatic actuation. And then in material characterization, there are always issues of when you tap on the surface, the tip rotates, and also, when you want to do tap and then get the tap information fast, the high Q of the cantilever, as seen here, actually filters out the information. So you need a broadband and sensitive sensor to see those individual tap signals, and you can invert those. And also, I mean, array implementation has been an issue for, new applications are coming about parallel biomolecular measurements for drug discovery and all sorts of things, and also fast parallel imaging, and also if you can use it for non-manufacturing if you can build arrays and individually control them. So this is the kind of main idea behind FRAT. Basically what we have is a micro-machine mechanical structure. And this is a cross-section, for example. This can be a clamp-clamp beam cross-section, or it can be a membrane like this. Or it can, if you cut it here, it can be a cantilever structure. Then you can place the tip anywhere you want. Now, this structure is kind of surface micro-machined. It stays a little bit above a substrate where we have, actually at the bottom of that, you have a diffraction grating. So those are closely spaced metal lines. And for actuation, what we do is we use those diffraction grating fingers as the bottom electrode. So when you apply bias between those fingers and the structure, basically you flex the structure. So you have the integrated actuator, okay? And then that structure, and if you put the tip on top, as shown here, you move the tip directly. So you have an active, fast tip, and your actuation is limited by the dynamics of that mechanical structure. So we have the integrated readout, because the way that that's the displacement of the tip is read out is basically by shining a laser through the backside of the quartz substrate, like this, basically. And then what happens is diffraction orders come out, because some light goes through here, and some light goes through, reflects from the grating itself. So what you see is the orders separate. And if you place a detector to detect one of those intensities, you basically have your interferometric sensor. So in a way, it basically combines sensing and actuation in a very small volume. And the tip, for example, we have been working on this kind of membrane structures for a variety of applications. We have made devices that resonate up to 10 megahertz, up to 20 megahertz in fluids, because we use these kind of membranes for ultrasonic imaging applications, which you need to go to those frequencies. And in those cases, for example, optics is not the only way to detect this. You can also use capacitive sensing. And for those applications, we use capacitive sensing. So how does this kind of work, the details? Think about this case where you have this grating with a period of like 2 or 4 microns, and then you have a reflector. If the distance between the reflector and the grating is, say, λ/2, what happens is light going through the grating and coming back, and light reflected from the grating fingers, they're in phase, so you get total reflection. So it acts like a mirror. And then this is what you get on a plane a millimeter away from the grating itself. When, say, this is λ/4, so the interference is destructive, all the light actually goes to the diffraction orders, which is this case, okay? And if you're λ/8 or it's odd multiples, you get both reflection and diffraction. Look at the numbers here, because this is, you're 1 millimeter away from that diffraction grating, and this is in microns. So if you place a photodetector here, 150 microns, large enough, you're not position sensing. You're just measuring the display, the intensity on a fixed position. You can build the whole detector in a very small volume. And we have made devices in 2 millimeter cube with everything in it, with a VCSEL laser in it, and it works as an interferometer. So, and as you will see, if you put a photodiode and track its intensity as a function of this distance, you get familiar interference curves. Okay, so this is the gap thickness between the structure and the grating, and that's the intensity variation. And if you basically bias your device around these linear regions, you have high sensitivity. And you can do that biasing because you have the electrostatic actuator. You can pick the place for it. And then at that point, you have basically like a Michelson interferometer. And you can get easily, not easily, if you try a little bit, shot noise limited detection. We have shown that a couple of years ago, that you can get 10 to the minus 4 angstrom per root hertz with 60 micron laser power. And one limitation, as you see, is the sensitivity depends periodically on the gap. But there are several ways of avoiding that. And there's tricks that people have come up with and we have come up with so that you don't have the detection limit actually that much. And what else? Yeah, so the detection range limitation can be solved. So, but in general, what you do is you can, for example, if you're tapping on a surface, you can get your electrostatic actuation to a certain point and then look at the deflection of the tip. So how do we make these devices? We have been making these similar devices for a couple of years now. You see, this is from 2002. It's very simple, these versions at least. You start with a quartz wafer, you put the diffraction grating in a metal layer, you can put an oxide layer for short protection, and then you use photoresist standard as your sacrificial layer. You put aluminum and then remove the sacrificial layer, then you have your device. And we have been making these arrays for a while, so you can make arrays, no problem there. And when you look at from the backside, this is what you see. You have the back electrode and there's a grating, so that's where you shine your laser. And light, the diffraction orders come out at certain angles. And the tip fabrication so far is the kind of critical part. So we use the focused ion beam assisted deposition. And so this is the first tip we made. So that was huge, very heavy platinum tip. But then right now we're getting tungsten tips made. And as you will see, the resolution right now that we get is less resolution is limited by the tip. And we get tips down to 50 nanometers diameter with this kind of technique. So you make your membrane and then you just put it in the tip, just build your tip on top of it right now. So it's not a batch fabricated thing, but we are working on developing silicon tip integration with companies. We are not tip making people, so there are several companies who are eager to work with us to develop integrated tips. And if you look at it, I mean, anyone we talk to is talking about that this is really feasible, but cost can be an issue because there's some extra steps, as you can imagine, as compared to a regular cantilever. Probably nitride devices will be easier to do because they're already done by bonding. So you add your grating layer and then bond the tip, the cantilever, and then release it. So once you have those membranes, you can basically, so the first devices that you will see, they're all old mask sets. So we're using our old devices. We're just cutting them to shape for this application. So this is the edge of that array. This is an array, and we use one of them at the very end. We cut the glass chip, and then to image, for example, your sample is scanned. and then or the chip is scanned. And for immersion applications, you can imagine you can have a membrane and you can seal that cavity so you can operate in fluid and you can put a tip there. We use this in a dimension system because that's what we had in our lab. Here is the regular cantilever holder. And what we did was we used the 3D stereolithography to build our cantilever or rod holder now. And basically what you see is that glass chip, which is cut, you can see individual membranes, and the membrane at the tip, at the very end, is the one that we put the tip on. And there is only one extra electrical connection that's connected to actuate the tip. That can actually come through the head. But we are not sure if you want to apply like 50, 70 volts through that. So to be safe, you just put it from the side, and you just plug this in. And then you can basically use that device for imaging. And we right now have this on a multimode system also. And as you will see in that system also, we just make another holder with an extra mirror to get the light to the photo detector. And that works well. So this is the experimental setup that we use to get the initial results. As you see, I mean, this is a regular piezo tube. And what we did was we kind of had to tilt our tip for these experiments, because when the light comes normally, the first order goes up, but it has to be tilted by 6 degrees so that it matches to the regular 20 degrees so that we can use the same photodetector in the system. And then you take that signal out and you can either use the regular controller or for this material characterization applications, we use that controller. For fast imaging applications, we built our own simple fast RMS controller because the bandwidth wasn't enough. And then we use the piezo tube for fast imaging just for X, Y. We use our actuator for Z control plus tapping. And in the other case, we use the piezo to move the whole substrate for material property imaging. So that's why it's really adaptable, easily adaptable to this kind of system. And in a multimode, basically, the sample is scanned. And actually, that's a better system for us. Because in this system, what happens is when you scan in X and Y, the beam travels, and that creates a background signal. In a multimode system, you don't have that. The beam is stationary, so you don't have that. So it's a cleaner system for us. Anyway, so we had this RMS system with 12 kilohertz bandwidth just to try, and we were basically use the same. And you can also imagine that we can use the membrane, just wiggle it. You can use the device as your regular tapping mode piezo if you needed to. So this is an example of the fast scan. In this case, as I mentioned before, we do control plus oscillation. Everything is done by the electrostatic actuator. And so these are some scan lines. And we're looking at 20 nanometer high calibration grating. And so this is the cantilever line scan. So we're seeing the same thing. And we can go up higher in speeds with reasonable resolution. And I mean, right now, I'll talk about more. I mean, this device wasn't really the best device that you can make. This is the first thing, I mean, the membrane that we just put the tip, and it was fast enough to get this rate. As I said, we are improving the device design so that we can probably have 100 kilohertz imaging speed easily. So this is the other interesting application. This is in the case where we wanted to see tap signals cleanly. So that you can do topography imaging fast and then capture material property information. In this mode, what we have done in this particular case was you basically move the frot holder up and down. The whole quartz thing is moving up and down. So this is one cycle. It comes down. Actually, if there's no interaction force, you don't have any reading. And then at some point, the tip is pulled in, and then it hits the surface, and then there's adhesion, and then comes back. So, and this is basically a tap signal that's really measured. So you can, while doing this imaging, for example, you can do really tap force image. You can run your feedback loop with the maximum tap force. And then after you invert the elasticity, you can correct for topography, for example, kind of to address some of the earlier questions about how topography and elasticity interact. So every tap really provides a dynamic force curve. We have actually another mode where we, instead of the piezo, since we have so much bandwidth, we can actually move the whole, we can do the tapping with our membrane. And actually, on the tap signal, you see the real tap signal. Okay, you see a sinusoid, and this is on top of it. You can see it because this is not a resonant system. You can adjust it. So with that bandwidth, you can extract the information directly from tapping. So you don't need to oscillate the substrate. And in that case, I think we can go to 50 kilohertz tapping and getting the tap signal directly. So then you can really do regular tapping mode speed imaging, but then digitize the tap signal directly. So from these tap signals, I think in the audience there are many people who know much better than me. You can extract tons of information depending on the model you use. And so you can do regular topography imaging, and then you can digitize this data. And after that, you can do your inversion. And we kind of tried several simple models. So this was a silicon and photoresist sample fitting, where we used the silicon as our kind of calibration sample and then tried to invert photoresist. And we tried it on different polymer samples, and you can see definitely see reasonable results. And using a simple model, we can actually invert the Young's modulus approach and retract energy, surface energies. And in these cases, I mean, our accuracy is limited by the fact that if there's background signal, that goes into the tap. So with the multimode system, this actually improves because we don't have the background signal, which is not related to the sample itself. So this is a soft sample. And in this case, we actually had to include the viscoelasticity to fit the data to the tap signal itself. Here's another example to show that we really measure things related to material properties. So this is the topography. The sample we have is silicon. We have one line of chromium, and on top of that, you put aluminum. So aluminum has high and low values. But when you look at, say, the peak attractive force image, you basically don't distinguish that. So by using those tap signals, you get really material property information rather than the topography. And you can get both of them at the same time. So here's another example where we have carbon nanotube bundle. You can get, after you digitize that data, you can get adhesion energy, stiffness, and contact time by looking at those tap signals. And actually, the stiffness data matches kind of, it shows that there's some information that we're getting in stiffness. If you look at the TEM, in that bundle, there are some more denser regions, and actually you can find out that there is some variation, although there's not, you don't see it in topography, you see it in the stiffness image. So those were all the data earlier was taken with this kind of device. And as I said, these were made for microphones. So their dynamics were not really suitable for this kind of application for fast imaging. But the nice thing is we have been working on these microphones for a while, so we really understood the dynamics of those kind of systems. And for example, here is the measured data, and we can have a linear model or ANSYS finite element simulation. They all match very well. So this behavior is due to the fact that in this case, there's vent openings up and down. So at very low frequencies, you can push the air in and out, so it is soft. And after a while, the air cannot escape, and you get stiffening, and then you see the resonance affected by the air in the gap. So, but once we have the model, we can design better devices. And there's other devices, other types of devices that you can make. For example, you can have your cantilever kind of process, and you can add this grating on the lower end. This increases your range to a certain extent because tip moves larger than the place that you're detecting. We also made devices like this. They're all on the wafers, so you can actually do tip motion left and right because you can control the forces on the membrane on the beam, and you can read left and right easily by changing the grating period, because even if you shine a single laser light, left side signal is going to go one angle. Because this grating is narrower, it's going to go to a larger angle. This grating is has a larger period, it's going to go to a smaller angle. So you just place your photodiodes in the right places, and then you go left and right, and you can measure torsional forces. And also, you can do whatever, you can wiggle things in three dimensions. So ideally, what we want to get is similar to, say, cantilevers, 1 MHz resonance frequency, reasonable Q for low thermal noise, and reasonable Q for fast settling time if you don't want to use active Q control. And the nice thing about these surface micromachining structures is that you have the control over all these things because you determine the gap. And as we said, this air interaction in atmospheric environment determines the behavior. So for example, we made some devices. This is a topside picture of it. So the top, this is the membrane and a grating electrode going, it goes to the bottom. And for example, 60 by 20 microns, 40 micron width, 0.8 microns. And we have some devices with 2.5 micron gaps. We made devices with 7 micron gaps. So that actually determines how much you can move. You can actually move the whole gap while you're scanning. You're not limited to one third of the gap, which is known for for electrostatic actuators, but you can put the electrodes on the side and you can pull it down without collapsing, without going any unstable region. And with these devices, actually, we get Q values of, as we tune, 4 to 15, spring constants 10 to 40, resonance frequencies in the megahertz range. So these are actually measured values. So this is the calculated response. That's the measured response optically. So we actuate and then we measure optically. You see very flat response and 1 megahertz resonance frequency. By just changing the dimensions, we can adjust the Q of the device. And if you look at the thermal noise, actually, over a large bandwidth, it's pretty small. So if you have good detection sensitivity for displacement, you can actually get good tap force resolution. This is one of the latest devices. Again, so this is the bridge device, and then we put a tip on it. That's kind of the smaller version of it, again, at the end of cut piece. We haven't gotten any data on these yet. This came out just recently. But the K is in that order. Q is 4 to 5, gap 4.5 micron, resonance frequency 1 megahertz. And also, for example, in some cases, if you want to really damp the structure so that you don't have any ringing in your tap signals, you just play with your parameters, and this is measured and modeled response. So you can really have a damped device if you wanted to. And again, so that's about device dynamics, how we can adjust those for different applications. And this is, in a case, we also always want to increase our sensitivity. One way of doing that is, instead of using a regular interferometer, you can actually form a Fabry-Perot cavity. We had shown these earlier, again, for microphone applications. And this is, again, what you do is you just simply put mirrors, and depending on what the reflectivity of the membranes are, you can actually get the sinusoidal curve to very sharp peaks, okay? And then if what you do, what you get here is you gain sensitivity because the slope is higher, but you lose your dynamic range. But when you're tapping small 1 nanometer signals, this is suitable. And actually, we made these devices. And here are the results for, you see now this is the membrane displacement. And instead of you getting sinusoidal curves, you get these sharp peaks. And if you adjust your bias there, for this case, you get 10 to 14. Ideally, we were expecting 40, but the flatness and all those roughness issues come into picture here. And also, you can see that this is a device where with four arms, you can do three-dimensional sensing and actuation with this, because you can put gratings under each arm and actuate it and detect the relative motion. So that's kind of about where we are with device design for increased sensitivity and dynamic response. So one application that we are funded, actually, by NIH is parallel force spectroscopy. And the original idea that we were planning to use for this application was to use acoustic radiation pressure actuation so that we can shoot different cantilevers with high-frequency ultrasound and then use the radiation pressure, like optical tweezers, to move them independently. But then after this idea came about, we said, okay, this is much easier than that, because that requires high-frequency zinc oxide deposition, all those things. So one approach that people use is you use just cantilever arrays to come down, but you have non-uniformity problems. You can integrate actuators on them to control the force when you're coming up and down. One actually simple thing that we do is I can have my sample active locally rather than the cantilevers, because I have these actuatable membranes. So if you coat your sample on that, your sample conforms to the cantilevers. Okay. So you come down, and then your membranes adjust, and then you can actually do the experiments by just pulling your membrane. You can either, if you want, you can measure deflection from the cantilever, or you can measure it from the backside, because I have my integrated detector anyway. And you can use that in the feedback loop to really control the forces. So how do we make those immersion devices? It's very similar to the previous case, transparent substrate grating. But in this case, what we need to do is, since we want to work in buffer solution, we embed our top electrode in a nitride dielectric membrane, and so that there's no electrical problem, we can still actuate it. So here is one top view, this is the bottom view, and that's an array of those things with sealing holes and individually controlled electrodes. And we made things like between 20 and 1,000 newtons per meter. If you just want to use an actuator, you want it to be stiff. If you want to make it a sensor, you want it to be soft. So this is the device that we made to kind of test those ideas. So we had this bioscope, and we took the microscope out, and we put a flat system down there. So now we can come down with a cantilever, and you can measure things from the backside using a laser. You put your membrane there and detectors there. So this is the kind of experiment. We functionalize our membranes with L-selectin, and there's L-selectin on the top side. We come down with a cantilever, and then we look at the adhesion events. But in this case, actually, we just use the regular, we use the cantilever as a force sensor. And if you just to show that we get reasonable events, in this case, the membrane is just sitting there. It's functionalized surface. Cantilever is picking up the multiple bonds and adhesion events. But then what we can do is we can come down to the membrane, and then let's wiggle the membrane. And then when you wiggle the membrane when they're in contact, we basically move up and down the cantilever ourselves. If you lower it a little bit, you get this kind of curve. Basically what's happening is the cantilever is in intermittent contact. We just pull down the membrane and make one measurement. We make another measurement. And you can independently control those things, so you can independently measure these forces, especially simple adhesion frequency, at least to start with. And ultimately, we want to go here, because if you use polymer membranes, actually, you can get pretty soft membranes and pretty small size. So the thermomechanical noise also can be pretty small. But we now know that we can actually get this 1 hertz to 100 kilohertz bandwidth with shot noise limit. There are some very neat laser noise reduction techniques, circuit techniques. With those, we may be able to get 3 piconewton on this huge bandwidth resolution. And then the idea would be put your sample on any kind of substrate you want, and our probes go and pull up and down, do the measurements for you. And this idea kind of came from some thumb side. You can imagine if you have a fast actuator, so for fast imaging, one problem is the Z actuation. Since we can make really fast membranes working in fluid, you can actually put your sample on the membrane and use the membrane up and down to basically do your Z actuator while you're scanning with a regular cantilever. So this is the response of one of those membranes. So you see I've been up to 100 kilohertz for this particular case. You have an actuator which is free of spurious resonances. So in conclusion, so we have a NIF type of AFM probe, and actually it's kind of a family of devices. You can imagine bringing more MEMS into AFM. And this is the miniaturized thing that we made. It actually has photodiodes, VCSELs, everything else in it. So it is electrical input, electrical output. You move the membrane, you detect deflection in that small package. And this is actually from 3 years ago that we were able to make 9x9 arrays of these microphones, individually actuated, detected. So the technology is for integration has progressed independently. So challenges, so as I said, we're looking for silicon tips, but they look to be feasible. People are working on it. So we need to make more robust devices for liquid operation. And we have devices right now to do better fast imaging, so we're working on that and developing a system. And the rest of things, and the list of people who really worked much more than I do did on these things. And especially I want to single out Calvin Quaite, who really inspired us in terms of pushing us hard. I want this, I want that kind of thing. And he's a very good person. Anyway, thank you for your attention.